Let me invite you, please, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Christoph has just started Mark. If he was a bit further on, I would have asked him to preach Mark 6 tonight. But the weekend's all for them to get a break. But tonight, Mark 6, we're coming to verse 30 to 44. So let's read it together. Mark 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them to something to eat." And they said, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, said a blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we pray now for your blessing upon us. We ask, O God, that you will help us to listen attentively to your word, not just with our ears and our minds, but with our hearts. We know that this is a familiar passage. We know it's a well-known story, but we ask, O God, that we will not be complacent with it. Instead, help us to study it afresh, to see the wonder of Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said there, this is a very familiar passage. Many of you will have learnt it as a child and have read it time and time again throughout your life. It's one of the only miracles recorded in all four Gospels. There's two miracles recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the miracle of Jesus' resurrection, and it's the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So the Gospel writers themselves see this miracle as a significant miracle that we are to understand and that we are to be impacted by. However, although it's well known and although it's an impactful story, often people come to it and approach it in a wrong way. Often people have a wrong focus when they come to this miracle. So people often preach or teach this miracle with a focus on the disciples. Others preach it and teach it on focus on the young boy who brings his five loaves to Jesus and his two fish. But although this is a focus in the story, it's not the primary focus. Because the primary focus, as normal in the story, is Jesus Christ, the Savior of all. This story tonight is a story that reminds us that Jesus Christ is the leader and the shepherd that we all need. You see, we have leaders in this world, don't we? We have leaders in world history and leaders in the global stage who are dictators and who are tyrants. They are evil leaders. We have leaders in our workplaces. Bosses, some of you serve good bosses, others of you serve awful bosses, those who take advantage of you, those who are evil. We have leaders in our family units, father figures, but often our father figures let us down and they abuse us, they don't care for us and they don't love us as we should. We have many leaders in this world, but none of the leaders truly lead us. Often they disappoint us. Often they harm us and hurt us. And yet tonight we come to a passage in which we see Jesus Christ as the true leader, the one that we all need, the leader who, as the good shepherd, provides for us and cares for us and protects us in life. Tonight all I want us to do is to work through the three scenes that are in this passage. We'll work through it together, and then afterwards we'll come back and learn one lesson that this passage drives home to us. So the first scene is we see Jesus' provision of rest. Jesus' provision of rest in verses 30 to verse 33. So back in verse 12, Jesus sent his 12 disciples out on a short-term mission trip to the towns and villages in Galilee. Mark then changed the focus to King Herod, who executed John the Baptist. But now Mark, in verse 30, he returns the focus back to Jesus' disciples returning from their short-term mission trip. They do what they normally do. When someone goes on a mission trip, they come back and they report it. Well, they report it to Jesus Christ. They tell Jesus, verse 30 says, about all that they taught and all that they did, indicating that they cast out demons and they healed the sick, just as Jesus had given them authority to do. But as Jesus listens to them report, he realizes that they are tired and they are weary in the work. He realizes that they haven't had an opportunity to rest, so much so that verse 31 says that they haven't even had time to have a meal. They haven't had the leisure time to take a meal and to enjoy it and eat. It's like parents with a newborn baby. They can't catch a break. They struggle even to do normal things like shower or enjoy a meal. Well, that's the disciples here. They're so busy. They are so engulfed in the ministry that they are in need of rest. And Jesus Christ notices that. And he calls them in verse 31 to come away for a while to a desolate place where they can rest. So they get in the boat and they enjoy rest together in the boat as they sail along the lake. Hopefully it wasn't windy and choppy. Rather, I hope you picture tonight a lovely calm lake with maybe the sun setting or whatever, and Jesus' disciples having rest in the boat. Here's what we see. Jesus provides his disciples with rest. He knows us best, for he has made us, and he's become like us in every respect bar sin, and he knows that we need to take proper rest. Now that's so important for some of you to grasp tonight, because some of you are burning the candle at both ends. Some of you aren't taking a break in life. You are, in a sense, packing out your calendar with all different appointments and work and friends and whatever it is, but you're never taking a rest. But Jesus Christ, his treatment of his disciples, highlights to us the importance of rest. You see, the human body is not infinite, it's finite. We are but dust. And God created the human body in such a way that it needs its batteries to be recharged. Do you remember what God establishes at creation? He creates the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh, what does he do? Someone tell me. He rests. He takes the Sabbath day, and he makes the Sabbath day holy. A creation, there's the principle, 6 days you shall work, and one day you shall rest from your labor. Now, God didn't rest entirely, because he had to sustain the world, and he had to uphold the world. He was active working in that part, but he rested from his creation, his laboring in the creating work. Right from the beginning, God has established in the humanity the need to take rest, to take a break, to take a day off. That's why we have Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, a day for God's people to rest, a day for them to physically rest from their earthly labor, a day for them to relationally rest as they visit friends and family and as they encourage one another in God's family here in the local church. It's a day for spiritual rest, where we come together to be fed from God's word, to find rest in Christ, our Savior. Now, I realize that not everyone, Sunday is not for everyone a day of rest, because some people need to work. Doctors and nurses and people who work in the health services need to work. In fact, for myself, Sunday is one of the busiest days of the week. And yet, the principle is the same. 6 days you shall labor, one day you shall find rest from your labor. You see, we all need rest. Some abuse this principle and are lazy when it comes to work. They do half a job, but Scripture calls you, Christian, to work hard. Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Others, on the other hand, some neglect this principle and overwork. They never take a break, or they allow the guilt of what others will think and say to drive them to overwork. And if that's you tonight, then simply from this passage, you need to see that you need to rest. Jesus provides his disciples with rest in the ministry. So that's the first scene, Jesus' provision of rest. The second scene, it's Jesus' provision of truth in verses 33 and 34. Look at verse 33 with me. It says, "Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." So you picture the scene, Jesus and his disciples are sailing around the lake. They are rowing their boat to the shore. And the people in the surrounding villages, as they pass by, well, they recognize Jesus and his disciples. They say, "They're the men who have been preaching in my local town recently. They're the men who have been healing my mom or my daughter from their sickness." So what they do, these crowds, is they follow the boat the whole way around the shore. They track it. You ever had to pick someone up from the airport, a family member or a friend? And some people, if they're real enthusiastic, they get the flight app out and they track the flight because they want to be there on time. So when they arrive, they can pick them up and go straight home. Well, that's the scene here, that the crowds track Jesus and his disciples around the shore, and then as soon as they arrive on shore, the crowds are there to welcome them. The crowds are there to be ministered to by Jesus. But remember, Jesus got into the boat to provide his disciples with rest from the crowds. If that was you, you put yourself in the boat for a moment. If that was you, you've taken your disciples for rest. You've enjoyed, I don't know, half an hour snooze on the lake. You arrive at the shore, and the crowds are there. How would you react? Wouldn't be happy. If it was me, I'd row my boat back out onto the lake. Or maybe you would snap, and you would say to them, "Here, give us peace for a moment." But do you see what Jesus did in our passage? Look at verse 34 with me. Verse 34, it says, "When he went to shore, he saw the great crowd," this crowd that are demanding him and wanting him, and it says, "He has compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." So Jesus doesn't row his boat backwards. He doesn't shout at the crowds. Rather, he has compassion on them. That word compassion literally means that his bowels are moved inside him. In the ancient Jewish mind, the bowels were the center of emotions. You know, like sometimes we would say, when you're nervous, you have butterflies in your tummy. Well, that's the idea here. Jesus' emotions, his inner emotional life is affected and drawn towards these people. He has pity on them. He sees them as helpless and as needy, and he wants to help them. Mark tells us that he sees them as a sheep without a shepherd. You see, sheep are not like the lion that can hunt its prey. Sheep are not like the buffalo that can defend itself against the attack of predators. Sheep aren't like the squirrel that stores up its nuts for winter. Rather, sheep are sheep. Sheep are silly. Sheep are needy. They wander, they're helpless, they're vulnerable. They need a shepherd. And as Jesus looks at the crowd, he sees through their faces and he sees their real need. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They are helpless, they are needy, they are vulnerable, and they are weak. You see, in the Old Testament, God was depicted as Israel's shepherd. God's people were the sheep, and God was the shepherd. Psalm 23, we read at the start, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But God often in the Old Testament raised up leaders to be shepherds over his people, leaders who would rule over, lead his people and provide for them and protect them. Leaders like Moses and leaders like David and leaders like Elijah, they were shepherds to the people. But time and time again in the Old Testament, Israel's leaders failed them. Turn back to Ezekiel 34 for a moment. Ezekiel 34. Now, don't feel embarrassed. You have to go to the front of your Bible and find out what number Ezekiel's at. Ezekiel 34. Let's read from verse 1. Here, God is speaking, and it says, He says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts." Jump down to verse 7. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." So you see what God's saying about Israel's shepherds? They're shepherds in title alone. They don't act like shepherds. Instead of feeding the sheep, they feed themselves. Instead of protecting the sheep, they harass and they harm the sheep. They are poor shepherds. And at the time of Jesus, that was the case. The religious leaders who were supposed to shepherd the flock of God did not. And when they track Jesus around the lake and they wait for him to get on the shore, he sees their neediness. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. They needed spiritual guidance and direction. They needed the word of God, the truth that will set them free. But none of their leaders would feed them. So Jesus does that, for he's the true shepherd. In fact, look at verse 22 of Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, God says, "I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, and I have spoken." So God declares there in Ezekiel 34 that he's going to raise up a shepherd who will lead his people, one who will feed them with the one word of God, one who will provide for their every need, one who will care for them in all of their affliction. And Jesus in Mark 6, if you turn back there now, in Mark 6, when he sees the people as sheep without a shepherd, what does he do? He has compassion on them. And then he feeds them the word of God. He steps up to be their shepherd. He steps up to be their good shepherd, to lead them and to provide for them and to protect them as God would promise earlier in Ezekiel 34. You see what is being depicted here? Jesus as a shepherd provides the truth to his people. You see, that's what you need, isn't it? Deuteronomy 8 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You need the truth of God. You need spiritual direction and guidance. Well, Jesus provides you with the truth. He provides you with the truth in the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, to feed your soul and to nourish them in the things of God. He provides you with pastors and elders who seek to teach you the word of God, to shepherd your souls so that you would be fed and nourished in the truth. So Jesus provides rest for his people. He provides truth for the crowds. Thirdly, the third scene is he provides bread for the crowds. Jesus' provision of bread. Jesus doesn't, in Mark 6, preach a 10-minute sermon and then quit. Rather, he preaches into the late evening. The disciples start to think practically about the situation. They reason, it's late, these people are hungry, therefore they need to be sent to the local town to get their evening meal. But look at what, and they bring their concern to Jesus, but look at what Jesus says in verse 37. Verse 37, he answered them, "You give them something to eat." He says, "You give them something to eat." The "you" in the original Greek is emphatic. It means it's to be underlined and put in bold in our Bibles. Jesus is saying, "You disciples, give the crowds something to eat." Now, this seems a bit unkind from Jesus. You see, the disciples have been exhausted from ministry. They haven't been able to enjoy a meal. Do you remember at the start, Jesus takes them into a boat because they haven't had a meal. They are hungry. Jesus knows all of this, but he tells them to feed the crowds. It seems like Jesus is touching them and poking them where it hurts. They are running low, but Jesus is wanting them to continue ministry. So what's happening here? Well, John's account of this says that Jesus is testing them, for he knows what he's going to do. You see, Jesus' disciples have become so focused on the great need of the crowd that they have forgotten about the great one Jesus is. You see, the crowd is immense. Mark tells us there's 5,000 men. If the men brought their wives that day, there's 10,000 adults. If they all had 2 children each, there would be 20,000. So that's a massive crowd. The disciples reason, this is a massive crowd to feed. It's going to take 200 denarii worth. A denarius was one day's labor. So it's 200 days of wages to feed this crowd. Who has 200 days of wages sitting around? No one. The bank's broke. These are disciples. When Jesus sent them on the mission trip, he sent them without their pocket money and he sent them without food. So they reason, this is impossible. Jesus, how can we do this? We had about 100, 120 people at our church lunch today, and it was a great operation. There was a lot of organization, and everyone worked really well. So this task is an impossible task. But Jesus still calls his disciples to feed the crowds, and he pushes them where it hurts. Why? So that they could see that it's an impossible task, but with him, it's possible. Let me repeat that. It's to show them that it is an impossible task, but with him, it's possible. You see, Jesus calls them to feed the crowds because he is able to provide bread for the crowd. He tells them to go and find out what food is in the crowd. They bring back 5 loaves, 2 fish, a packed lunch for a child. Look at verse 39. He commands them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by 50s. Jesus organizes them. The equivalent today would be organizing them into tables and telling them to sit at a specific seat. Jesus organizes them into groups. Did you note how specific Mark is? What does he say where they're sitting? Someone shout it out to me. Where are they sitting? On the tarmac?
Green grass.
Green grass. It's not the ground. It's not grass. It's green grass. Now, why does Mark have to say that? Well, it's because Mark wants in our minds to go back to the Old Testament. He wants our minds to go back to Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters and he makes me lie down in green pastures. So there Mark himself is reminding us that this is God himself who is the shepherd of his people, the one who provides his people with all that they need. Jesus makes them sit down to receive the nourishment that only he can provide. Look at verse 41. Jesus takes the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. He looks up to heaven, said a blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. Jesus told the disciples they needed to feed the crowd. It was impossible. They couldn't do it. They were running on empty. But now he equips them to carry out the task. He gives the baskets for them to hand out. He's teaching them as his disciples, and he's teaching you as a Christian tonight, that when he calls you to a task, he equips you for it. He provides you with the strength that you need to serve him. Maybe you've thought, I can't serve Jesus in Gortmurrin because I'm not gifted as other people. Maybe you've thought like giving up on serving God in a ministry because it's draining and it seems to not be rewarding. Well, here we see, Christian, you can serve Jesus. And you can keep on serving Jesus because he is the one who provides you with all that you need to serve him in the work. Look at verse 42. They all ate and they were satisfied. No one's wanting seconds because they've all had seconds. They're fed, they're happy, their bellies are full, and they're ready for their afternoon sleep or their evening sleep. But the question arises, what about the disciples? Do you remember back at the start of the story? The disciples are hungry. Jesus realizes that they need food. But up until this point, they haven't been given food. Instead, they've been serving the crowds. They've been sacrificing their meals on the behalf of others. So what about the disciples? Well, look at verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. So the leftovers were taken in, and there are 12 baskets full. Many disciples are there? 12? Yeah, good. We know that. 12 disciples. Many baskets are there? 12. Why? Because Jesus is providing his disciples with their own packed lunch. Jesus miraculously provides enough bread for all the people to be satisfied and enough bread for the disciples to take in so that they get their share, they get their fill. Jesus is satisfying their needs. He provides for them in the work. Do you see what Mark is wanting us to see this evening, Gordmurrin? Do you see what this meal is teaching these disciples? It's the lesson that we all need to learn. Jesus, as God's shepherd, is able to provide for all your needs. Jesus, as God's shepherd, is able to provide for all your needs. See, Jesus, the Son of God, has been chosen by God to lead his people, to protect them, to provide for them, to care for them. And this narrative tonight hammers home to you, Christian, that he is able to provide for all your needs. As you live for him, as you serve him, as the thick and thin of life comes your way, Jesus is able to provide for all your needs. He's totally qualified, for he is the good shepherd. He's the true leader of his people. He's the one who has, as we were singing earlier, no rival and no equal, because he is God's shepherd. We see that in the fact that he provided for our greatest need. You see, the false shepherd leaves their sheep behind. The false shepherd ignores their sheep in danger. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, he laid his life down for his sheep. We were wandering from the fold of God. We were harassed and harmed by our spiritual enemies, death, sin, the devil, and the world. But Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He chased us down. He died in our place to bring us back to himself. He's provided us with the greatest need, and therefore he is able, Christian, to provide you with all your needs. Whatever need you've got, whatever situation you're facing, Christ is sufficient because he is your good shepherd. Do you see what an amazing shepherd that we have? Do you see what an amazing leader that we have in a world where there are leaders, in a world where there are failures of leaders and disappointments and abuse of leadership? Do you see what a leader Jesus Christ is? He is the good shepherd who provides for all of our needs. Therefore, do you know him as this leader? Are you in his fold? Do you know his loving protection and provision day by day? If not, come tonight. Come into his fold and bow to him as your leader and as your shepherd. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we love Christ with all of our heart. We love him and we want to love him more. And we just pray, O God, tonight that as we have listened to your word, that you will draw us closer and closer to Christ, to entrust ourselves to his care and his provision more and more. We pray, O God, that you will bless us now as we come around the Lord's table, a time of enrichment, a time of provision, a time where we can find rest in Christ. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.